Thank you, Jenna. That was awesome. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living. Thank you for coming out on this used to be sunny morning. Now it's clouding over a little bit, but thank you very, very much for coming out today. Particularly those of you who are here for the first time. Perhaps there was someone who is here for the first time who wasn't so bold as to raise their hand. If that's the case, we do have those welcome packets in the back, a little manila envelope, and feel free to take one. The title of my talk today is Accepting What Is. And when I kind of came up with that and I started noodling around what I was going to do with it, the thing that came to me was the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's a great concept, and it has helped millions and millions of people deal with the conditions in their lives that are outside of their ability to be able to control. So as I thought about it further, there were two things that really came out to me. One is accepting the conditions in our lives, those the very real material, the world we live in conditions, accepting those, and then being able to accept a spiritual truth that may be in conflict with those living conditions that we experience in the world that we live. So first of all, accepting what is in our human experience. In our philosophy, we believe that we create our own reality through our thoughts. Thoughts can become things. Thoughts do become things. But this can really be difficult. This is difficult, particularly in the situations when we have those difficult things in life. When, you know, rent is due and you don't have any money, it's kind of tough to sit there and think, oh, we live in an abundant world. I mean, you're sitting there waiting for this abundant world to show up so I can make my house payment. And it's in this moment that we reach for that compassion. Last week we talked about compassion in action. And so this is when we can dial up that compassion. We can dial up compassion for ourselves, kindness for ourselves, and love for ourselves. And when we do that, then we can give ourselves the knowledge that we don't have to stay in this experience. Last week I was driving in a residential neighborhood, and it was raining. Man, it was coming down buckets. And there was this little guy, and he was probably 6 or 7. He had on Levi's and tennis shoes and a t-shirt, and he was riding his bike, and he'd go through puddles and splashing, and he was just being a little kid. And he didn't have a care in the world. And I watched him and observed, and about a block further down, there was a little girl. And she was so cute. She had on a little dress. She had on a little raincoat. She had little rubber boots, and everything matched. And she had a parasol, a little umbrella. And I thought it was Mickey Mouse ears. My granddaughter corrected me. Those were frog eyes on the top of her little umbrella. And she was walking around, tippy-toeing around those mud puddles, and had this big frown on her face. And she was not a happy little girl. You know, and we're all like that. We can go through life splashing in the puddles. You know, you can't do anything about the rain. Now, I'm sure that little guy got a talking to by mom when he got home, but he didn't care. He didn't have a care in the world. Or we can wear that frown. We can put on our rubber boots and tippy-toe around the puddles and be sad about it. Accepting what is moves us through resistance into a new place. I think of the martial arts guys, where they allow the strength and the power of the opponent to defeat them. They practice non-resistance and they use the opponent's strength and power against him. And we can do the same kind of a thing. Was reading the seven spiritual laws of success, Deepak Chopra. And one of them, he talks about the law of detachment. In there, he says, in order to acquire anything in the physical universe, you have to relinquish your attachment to it. In order to acquire anything in the physical universe, you have to relinquish your attachment to it. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to give up your intention. You don't have to give up your desires. You don't have to give up your goals. What you have to give up is your attachment to the result. Makes me think of Buddhism and the Four Noble Truths. And when I started writing this, I realized it's been like 2 years since we went through all of the various faith traditions and looked at how they compare to science of mind and where, you know, compare and contrast and whatnot. And I'm interested, would you guys like to see that again and go back to some of those? Okay, well, let's, a little show of hands. Faith traditions, yes? Or snoozer, we want to stick with the nine candles for a while. Okay, so I'll put something together and we'll go back and look at some of the faith traditions and we'll start that little practice again. That was kind of fun. In Buddhism, they have what they call the Four Noble Truths. And the first noble truth is that life is suffering. Good. Everybody got that. Look at it from the right perspective. Indeed, life is suffering. But the noble truth number two is that suffering is caused by attachment to temporary things. Attachment to temporary things. And noble truth number three is that freedom from suffering comes from detachment. Is based on fear and insecurity. And we must be wisdom of uncertainty. We must be open to the field of infinite possibilities. And this is where we can see science and spirituality begin to walk hand in hand, because we're seeing today in quantum theory and whatnot, this is exactly what quantum theory tells us today, is that we can open ourselves up to an infinite supply of possibilities, and we can collapse a given possibility for our own benefit, our own desires, and what we want. Deepak Chopra went on to say, without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just the stale repetition of outworn memories. And it is that uncertainty that we can embrace. If you don't need to have a clear idea of what you will be doing next week or next year, because if you have a clear idea of what is going to happen and you get rigidly attached to it, and then you shut out that realm of possibilities, you focus down on the realm of possibilities to a very narrow event. When we have that detachment, there is a fluidity to events. And the coal miners in Chile are a perfect example. They were able to step away from a rigid idea of how they were going to be, how they could be rescued, what it was going to be like, and move into a place. They didn't give up the goal of being rescued. They didn't give up their intention or their desires, but they opened themselves up to an infinite array of possibilities. And they were eventually rescued. Now, I'll tell you, I couldn't have done that. I have claustrophobia. If I was trapped underground 2,296 feet or whatever it was, I'd have needed more than a spiritual counselor. I'd have been needing the medic, I think. You still have intention and desire. You still have a goal, but it is between the A and the B. It is between the intention and the outcome where you are open to the infinite possibilities. So there are steps that we can take to move from A to B with attachment. First of all, we have to make a commitment to detachment. When you find yourself attached to an outcome, you can stop and say, wait, my commitment is to detachment. Number two, you can factor in uncertainty as an essential ingredient. Count on uncertainty. And number three, step into that field of infinite possibilities. I think this story was illustrated not long ago by a man who was on a train. It was a sleeper train. And his destination was Philadelphia. He went to the conductor and he said, I have an extremely important meeting in Philadelphia tomorrow. It is vital that I get off this train. Now, I'm a very, very sound sleeper, and it's likely that I'm going to fall asleep on the train. I need you to wake me up and make sure that I get off. And the conductor says, will do. No problem. And he said, now, I may resist because, you know, I'm a sound sleeper. I may not want to get off. So you make sure that I get off in Philadelphia. Conductor says, no problem. Sure enough, next morning, guy wakes up, he's in New York. Now, see, he can't do anything about that. He can't transport himself back to Philadelphia. It's a situation, you know, what I cannot change. But he was furious. And he searched for that conductor. He found him out on the platform, and he just read him the riot act. He chewed him up one side and down the other. And he told him the importance of that meeting, and how could you possibly let this happen? I'm going to get a hold of your superiors. This is unacceptable. I mean, he just went on and on and on. And finally, he departed to go find those superiors to get this conductor fired. And a lady came up to the conductor and she said, wow, that guy was really, really upset. He was really mad. Conductor says, ah, oh, he says, it's okay. He said, he wasn't mad. He says, you should have seen the guy that we put off in Philadelphia. So let's just take a moment and see what we're attached to. I think you all got a bulletin today, and inside there's a calendar, and on the back of the calendar there is a space for notes. And I would ask us to just sit in the silence for a moment and think about at least one and maybe two or three things to which we are attached, an outcome that we are attached to. Could you do a little tinkly music for a few seconds while we do that? Thank you, Jenna. Thank you. hope you're able to think of at least one thing that you right now have an attachment to. And if we can follow those simple steps, make a commitment to detachment, of letting go, and factor in uncertainty as an essential ingredient to that. You can count on it. And then step into that infinite field of possibilities. You can think of it as letting go and letting God. There are a lot of different ways to do that, but the principle is just the same. Allowing that divine current to flow through us. Instead of us in our finite minds trying to direct the outcome, we allow Spirit, we allow God. I mean, just think about it. Who's going to be more effective? You or that infinite presence which created the entire cosmos? That presence, that power is on your team. Let's hand him the ball. So the second half of this, you know, we've looked at accepting things in the material world. What about accepting a spiritual truth? Now, very often a spiritual truth is the polar opposite of what we are experiencing in our day-to-day lives. In fact, we just completed a Power of the Word class, and we spent a lot of time looking at the purpose of a prayer. I mean, why are we praying? And opening the door to see how we can change the condition. And it's really pretty simple. I mean, if you look at the condition, if you look at why you're doing the prayer in the first place, and it can be anything. Johnny's misbehaving at school, and you want Johnny to behave better in school. We look at the opposite of that. What is the opposite of Johnny's misbehaving in school? Well, it would be Johnny behaving, but why is Johnny misbehaving? Maybe he's trying to get attention. Maybe it's because Johnny doesn't feel love. And so what our prayer is about Johnny feeling the love in his life, that Johnny feels loved. And he doesn't need to act out in order to get your attention. And there's an infinite number of things. We'll go back to the guy that doesn't have enough money for rent. I mean, if we just tell him you live in an abundant universe, that isn't going to sit very well. But if we can open up that door of infinite possibilities, who's to say where that rent money can come from? Maybe we can win the lottery. Maybe it can come from a landlord who values this tenant so much because he or she is quiet and doesn't cause problems and has always paid on time before and is willing to make a forgive for a month or two of rent in order to keep a good solid tenant. You know, it can be anything. Maybe it could be Uncle Leroy has decided to distribute some of his fantastic wealth. When we think that the only source of our income can come from that job we have, then we're limiting that field of possibilities. And it's an infinite field. Let the divine work through us and for us. The takeaway, I always like to leave everybody with a takeaway. And the takeaway today, do not be afraid to accept the conditions of our human experience at the moment. It's okay to accept the rain because you can't change it. It's okay to accept being 2,200 feet below the ground. It's okay to accept those conditions in our lives. Allow your love and your compassion to grow. This then grows your awareness of the spiritual truth and its outpicturing in life. I'm going to close with one last quote. Epictetus wrote, "There is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will." But nothing is beyond the power of the divine creative force of the universe. Once again, Epictetus, "There is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will." And so it is with an awareness of this fantastic power of accepting what is that I will invite the practitioners to join me in holding our congregation in love and light and simply knowing this higher truth, a spiritual truth,